to this episode. And I'm going to go straight into the power of now, and from exactly where we left off on the previous episode. And I will read the last short paragraph just to provide context to the question that appears in the book. So towards the end we were talking about portals, and specifically the portals of silence and space. And also the portal of nothing as well, no thing as a portal. And in the last paragraph we read, nothing can only become a portal into the unmanifested for you if you don't try to grasp or understand it. And this is followed by a question by the continuing this narrative between the reader and Eckhart. Isn't that what we are doing here? Asked the reader. And this is the response. Not at all. I am giving you pointers to show you how you can bring the dimension of the unmanifested into your life. We are not trying to understand it. There is nothing to understand. Space has no existence. To exist literally means to stand out. You cannot understand space because it doesn't stand out. Although in itself it has no existence, it enables everything else to exist. Silence has no existence either, nor does the unmanifested. So what happens if you withdraw attention from the objects in space and become aware of space itself? What is the essence of this room, the furniture, pictures, and so on are in the room, but they are not the room. The floor, walls, and ceiling define the boundary of the room, but they are not the room either. So what is the essence of the room? Space, of course, empty space. There would be no room without it. Since space is nothing, we can say that what is not there is more important than what is there. So become aware of the space that is all around you. Don't think about it. Feel it, as it were. Pay attention to nothing. As you do that, a shift in consciousness takes place inside you. Here is why. The inner equivalent to objects in space, such as furniture, walls, and so on, are your mind objects, thoughts, emotions, and the objects of the senses. And the inner equivalent of space is the consciousness that enables your mind objects to be, just as space allows all things to be. So if you withdraw attention from things, objects in space, you automatically withdraw attention from your mind objects as well. In other words, you cannot think and be aware of space, or of silence for that matter. By becoming aware of the empty space around you, you simultaneously become aware of the space of no mind, of pure consciousness, the unmanifested. This is how the contemplation of space can become a portal for you. Space and silence are two aspects of the same thing. They are an externalization of inner space and inner silence, which is stillness, the infinitely creative womb of all existence. Most humans are completely unconscious of this dimension. There is no inner space, no stillness. They are out of balance. In other words, they know the world, or think they do, but they don't know God. They identify exclusively with their own physical and psychological form, unconscious of essence. And because every form is highly unstable, they live in fear. This fear causes a deep misperception of themselves and of other humans, a distortion in their vision of the world. If some cosmic convulsion brought about the end of our world, the unmanifested would remain totally unaffected by this. A Course in Miracles expresses this truth poignantly. Nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. If you remain in conscious connection with the unmanifested, you value, love, and deeply respect the manifested and every life form in it as an expression of the one life beyond form. You also know that every form is destined to dissolve again, and that ultimately nothing out here matters all that much. You have overcome the world, in the words of Jesus, or as the Buddha put it, you have crossed over to the other shore. So that was the end of that question being answered. And before reading on, perhaps we can maybe touch on a few points. But before doing that, perhaps we can just take some moments of silence to feel what has been said and to experience it as well, to experience the space around us, to experience the inner space, the inner stillness, the inner silence as well. So I would like to touch upon the mention of how unstable this form is. And this is the level we live at. We live in this instability, which is our mind. And we don't go deeper. We may try and go deeper, but we're doing it through the mind, which doesn't work. So we may talk about deep things. You know, in casual conversation, we may talk about, you know, mindfulness or, you know, having some peace of mind, some relaxation, but it often remains on the surface and we don't go deeper. In order to go deeper, you can't hold on to the mind. You can't take the mind with you. You can't do two things at once. And because we're so closely identified with the mind as being us, our physical form and psychological form, it says here, there's a misperception happening. And it's only in suffering that this misperception becomes clear, almost like some smudges on a window. We can see the smudges now. We're aware that, oh, we're not. This is not how we're seeing things. And that distortion becomes clear. And of course, if we can see that, then we are not that. You know, we can see our emotions, we can see our thoughts. But we can't see or look at our inner silence or inner space. We can only look from there. And again, this is not to something to be understood, it's something to be verified, something to be experienced. There is that oneness there, so there is nothing, there's no separateness for one thing to look at another. In everything else there is, because everything else, such as physical objects, physical forms, psychological forms, emotions and thoughts, they are able to be seen from your inner stillness, from your the place of no duality, from the depth of who you are, not the surface, the unstable surface. So the next title is for this section is The True Nature of Space and Time. So it looks like we're continuing the opening up of these two pointers. Now consider this. If there were nothing but silence, it wouldn't exist for you. You wouldn't know what it is. Only when sound appears does silence come into being. Similarly, if there were only space without any objects, in space, it wouldn't exist for you. Imagine yourself as a point of consciousness floating in the vastness of space. No stars, no galaxies, just emptiness. Suddenly, space wouldn't be vast anymore. It would not be there at all. There would be no speed, no movement from here to there. At least two points of reference are needed for distance and space to come into being. Space comes into being the moment the One becomes two, and as two become the 10,000 things, as Lao Tzu calls the manifested world, space becomes more and more vast. So world and space arise simultaneously. Nothing could be without space, yet space is nothing. Before the universe came into being, before the Big Bang, if you like, there wasn't a vast empty space waiting to be filled. There was no space, as there was no thing. There was only the unmanifested, the One. When the One became the 10,000 things, suddenly space seemed to be there and enabled the many to be. Where did it come from? Was it created by God to accommodate the universe? Of course not. Space is no thing, so it was never created. Go out on a clear night and look up at the sky. The thousands of stars you can see with the naked eye are no more than an infinitesimal fraction, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, an infinitesimal fraction of what is there. Over 100 billion galaxies can already be detected with the most powerful telescopes, each galaxy an island universe with billions of stars. Yet what is even more awe-inspiring is the infinity of space itself, the depth and stillness that allows all of that magnificence to be. Nothing could be more awe-inspiring and majestic than the inconceivable vastness and stillness of space. And yet, what is it? Emptiness. Vast emptiness. What appears to us as space in our universe, perceived through the mind and the senses, is the unmanifested itself, externalized. It is the body of God, and the greatest miracle is this: that stillness and vastness that enables the universe to be is not just out there in space, it is also within you. When you are utterly and totally present, you encounter it as the still inner space of no mind. Within you, it is vast in depth, not in extension. Spatial extension is ultimately a misperception of infinite depth, an attribute of the One Transcendental Reality. According to Einstein, space and time are not separate. I don't really understand it, but I think he is saying that time is the fourth dimension of space. He calls it the space-time continuum. And that was actually a question. So we'll pause there for the moment and I'll read the Einstein question again. And it's okay if what's being said here, if not all of it is absorbing, you know, it's not generally with books, I find it's okay for, you know, some things to absorb and some things not to. And for instance, talking about the galaxies and stars, it's hard to absorb that information. And I think this is where what's being said here can't just be understood. It's something to be experienced, that vast inner space inside of you. And that space is where there is no mind. And it is a bit confusing. And to be honest, as spirituality is, it's sometimes hard to get your mind around it, because obviously we're interpreting these words through the mind first and then for them to go deeper through our senses. So we can go back almost to the talk about the room, how the furniture in the room is not the room, and neither is the walls or the windows what defines the room. In the room, it's the space in the room. That's the room. I guess a way to see that is if you were to, you know, if there was a way to dye the air in a certain colour, you'll see a huge cloud of air in the room, and that's the room. That's truly what's in it. And he mentioned that the furniture in the room is equivalent to the furniture in our mind as thoughts and emotions. Thoughts and emotions are the furniture, and then which make up the mind. But when there is no mind, there is just space. Just as if you were to clear out all of the furniture in the room, there would just be the space of the room. And even on a visual sense, it would feel lighter. It would feel more spacious. And this is to be experienced when there is no thoughts, emotions, reacting from thoughts. What is left? What is left? What is felt? What is experienced? And this is where words come short, because nothing can describe. We can call it space, we're using the pointer of space, but as Eckhart mentions previously, it's not even space. It's subtler than that. But we can use it as a pointer, as a reference to, because, you know, we have to use some kind of language for us to talk about this and to almost point to it as well. It's not quite like this, This will take you towards that direction. And he talks about, you know, again, the no mind, when you are totally present, when there is no mind, that there is a vast depth, and he mentions not in extension. Which I'm interpreting as not a physical, you know, depth, physical inside of you, but a depth that can be experienced inside the inner stillness, the depth of that, not a physical depth. Okay, so moving on to the, it's more of a comment, I guess, from the reader. According to Einstein, space and time are not separate. I don't really understand it, but I think he is saying that time is the fourth dimension of space. He calls it the space-time continuum. Yes, what you perceive externally as space and time are ultimately illusory, but they contain a core of truth. There are the two essential attributes of God, infinity and eternity, perceived as if they had an external existence outside you. Within you, both space and time have an inner equivalent that reveals their true nature, as well as your own. Whereas space is the still, infinitely deep realm of no mind, the inner equivalent of time is presence, awareness of the eternal now. Remember that there is no distinction between them. When space and time are realized within us as the unmanifested, no mind and presence, external space and time continue to exist for you, but they become much less important. The world, too, continues to exist for you, but it will not bind you anymore. Hence, the ultimate purpose of the world lies not within the world, but in transcendence of the world. Just as you would not be conscious of space if there were no objects in space, the world is needed for the unmanifested to be realized. You may have heard the Buddhist saying, if there were no illusion, there would be no enlightenment. It is through the world and ultimately through you that the unmanifested knows itself. You are here to enable the divine purpose of the universe to unfold. That is how important you are. So that's the end of that section. And yes, it can be a bit confusing with this section talking a lot about time and space and trying to see the different angles of it, and something that can be read again, which may help clarify some more things. But the essence of this is, once you're connected with the unmanifested, so space and time, are externalized manifestations of consciousness. But once you realize the unmanifested within us, then those things become less important because everything is going to dissolve, but not your true essence. This is why often it's said the world is less important. You don't take the world seriously or your mind seriously because it's all unstable and it's all temporary. And so he mentions here, the world too continues to exist for you, but it will not bind you anymore, meaning, you know, you don't believe this is my world, this is the world that's happening now. Just as you're not bound to your psychological forms anymore, you're not bound to your thoughts. And then there's touching upon having some sort of, can't think of the word, contrast is the word. The example here is, if there was no illusion, there would be no enlightenment. And there's another simple example that Muji uses, or it's used by lots of other people, in fact, that if, for example, the only color you could see was green, there would be no green. There would just be that. But with two colors, or in this instance, the illusion, then you can see the truth. So it's almost the illusion of this world, the illusion of our thoughts and emotions that we believe to be real as us, but then there is the truth behind that. And that truth is, again, not to be figured out or understood, it's to be experienced. And there are simple ways to do that if, you know, thoughts and emotions come and they go. They come into form, then they dissolve. But there is always the watcher of those. And you can call that the unmanifested or consciousness. Sometimes we've used the word God. And I think Eckhart uses it sparingly because there is the word's been so overused, it sometimes becomes a hindrance, because you hear the word God and people may look up to the sky for a certain being of God, a person who looks a certain way, and that's how it is. So that's why there are different words used, such as the unmanifested, which I can connect to that. And it's, again, like if you give that to the mind, it's almost like it can't be understood, like measuring how big space is. It can't be understood by the mind. Only from a deeper place. So I'm going to leave it here. We've come to the end of that section, and I may have to read that again, because I find I'm also concentrating to read clearly as I can, and try and pronounce most of the words. Seems like some of the words were a struggle for me, but. And again, none of these words are important, truly. They are just pointing to the simplicity within. So, you know, if you are reading this again as well, then, you know, perhaps it's a suggestion not to analyze each sentence and try and understand everything, because there are many sentences I've just read that I haven't absorbed or that, but... That's why there are so many pointers in this book, because, you know, some will connect and immediately a light will go off and will transport us there, and then others may not, which is fine. So today, for the rest of the day, I'm going to keep my awareness on space. The space within, when there is no mind. And then be aware of the lack of space when thoughts arise, the heaviness, the objects. And you can always use silence as well. When there is space, there is... When you are present, there is space and there is silence. But that can only be known because of the noise of the mind. We talk about that contrast again. And perhaps that's something you can be aware of. And the more you become aware of it, you know, the less the less you want to be in the mind, you know, the more you become aware of the noise of it and the energy it takes up. And then once you've tasted and experienced the lightness, the deep peace of being present, then that will naturally, you'll naturally be drawn to that. But that, I'll leave that for you. So thank you for joining me for today's episode. I wish you well, as always. And I'll speak to you again very soon. Take care.